If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe started an hour ago, Cutler. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, Jeremy and Joe. The junkie, the interoval of pressure to spread them out, not add more people to the protection. Each player you add to the protection adds a blitzer. And Kaylee went wrong there. Kaylee's bunching everything up. Like, there was zero spreading it out. So, failure on Kaylee. That's a great, don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. Is it just me, or were the Texans not double-teaming or chipping Jones enough? No, that's a fair assessment. One thing that Jones does really good, though, is like just before the snap, he'll shift where he's at. Like he'll even swap with another defender, and they give him the freedom to do that. Like, and the other defensive linemen are like, "Hey, Chris Jones, you tell me where to be." Like they do what Chris Jones tells them to do. There was one play in particular, it's the one where he just abused Jake Andrews, and he abused the running play. I don't know if it was running play, but he abused Jake Andrews. He started off in the A gap to the left of Andrews, and then just before the snap, he switches over to the A gap to the right of Andrews. And, like, that's tough. That's tough, especially for an offensive line that's, like, in an offense that's not moving quickly and it maybe isn't the best at identifying and the best at, like, calling out the coverage calls. And then all of a sudden, you get everything lined up, and then the best player on their defense and one of the best defensive players in the NFL is like, "Oh, I'm just going to switch gaps."
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is hard. And then there's also just the plays where he's lined up in his normal spot and he embarrasses people. I mean, what he did to Eddie Ingram in this game is cruel.
It was not good tape for Eddie Ingram.
It's cruel, man.
He abused
because he's been so good this year.
I know,
but this game is just like, oh man. And I'm not sure, like that. I'm not seeing if the upgrade at right guard because of it.
No,
he played so good in that second half. Chris Jones did. It really probably doesn't matter who's out there. Like, you could put out like the best Eagles offensive line, and he dominates them.
Yeah.
The way he played in that second half.
No, he was unbelievable. Like that was. I think I saw Lance tweet about it during the game, and I didn't really, like, I know what he said, but it didn't really, like, resonate with me until I watched it again yesterday. He said that Chris Jones is having one of those J.J. Watt, like, takeover game moments.
Because even if you look at some of the plays in the first half where CJ, like, has to scramble and make big passes, a lot of that's caused by Chris Jones.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just he's the guy that's still causing the chaos. And then in the second half, he took it to another level. Where he's beating your guys off the line of scrimmage in less than a second.
He wasn't as good in the first half or the fourth quarter as he was in the third. He was a different animal in the third.
No,
and to Stroud's credit, there were a couple times when Jones was in his face, and C.J. Stroud was able to elude him, get away, and actually convert some critical third downs.
And that's why I think C.J. does deserve credit for what happened this game. Like, as much as we can nitpick and I think fairly hold him to a higher standard, C.J. Stroud of last year, they lose this game because he gets sacked 8 times,
yes,
maybe at least.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's high, but he would have been sacked. He would have been sacked,
sacked three times in this game,
and he was sacked 8 times in the playoff game last year.
Yeah, it just feels like he's on his back the entire game.
Yeah, and I mean, they were there. He eluded a lot of them. He did elude, like, tip your cap to Stroud for there that he reduced the amount of sacks while not turning it over. So you do have to give him credit there, no doubt. How can it be an excuse playing at Arrowhead? The Chiefs were literally lives on the line in that second half, and you had to beat historically the best current dynasty in the NFL, and they did that. I don't care about style points. I want W's. That's the bigger point. Like, mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, we started the show with that yesterday. There's no such thing as ugly wins. There's only wins. And to do it there is a feather in the cap, and it's a massive victory, statement win, one of the best regular season wins they've had under DeMeco. All of that is true. But we're not going to ignore in victory what we wouldn't in defeat. And that's what we're currently doing.
Yeah, when's a win? It's all matters.
What else did you have? Don't ignore us.
I think just collectively, like, I think the one thing, I kind of want to take this in a little bit of a different direction for this one. It's something you brought up yesterday, rewatching the game. It stood out because I think it's the fact that people were complaining, as you said yesterday, about not getting to Mahomes in a positive way. I still feel like the defensive line did its job in this game, like causing havoc for Patrick Mahomes. He did a really special job, just like Stroud, even better than Stroud, of avoiding that pressure in this game. But I think it was too much negative attention drawn to the lack of sacks and hits on Mahomes for how good this defensive line actually was again in this game.
Yeah, I thought they were very good.
Yeah.
I thought they influenced Pat Mahomes into a lot of things that were a bit uncharacteristic. Go look at his completion percentage. Like, why was his completion percentage so bad?
Yeah.
Mostly because of the defensive pressure. And on top of that, they're mostly doing it with four. They don't blitz much. They'll blitz some. Like, they had an exotic Lassiter blitz, and, you know, they'll send Petrie from the nickel at times. Like, they'll mix it up every now and then. But they mostly send four. They mostly send four, and then you have two really good corners. Like, it's hard for a quarterback because they're sending four. You have seven in coverage, yet you're still getting high pressure.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It makes life so difficult, even for the – like, think about what they're going to do to Jacoby Brissett this week. If they can just
Brissett has Brissett. Here's my fear. Jacoby Brissett has had good history against the Texans.
He has.
For whatever reason. And D'Amico Ryan's defenses at times play down to the quarterback. For whatever reason. Remember, they've gotten beat by Zach Wilson.
Uh-huh.
They've gotten beat by Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
I think Brissett beat D'Amico a couple of years ago in D'Amico's first year? I can't remember exactly.
In Indy?
They lost to Bryce Young as a rookie.
They did.
Like, they have weird losses. Mm-hmm. Like, D'Amico has been great here. Great here. Back-to-back 10-win seasons. They're currently in a good spot after dropping 0-3. The defense has been top-notch in the NFL. This year it's been the best in the NFL. Yet they have really random and weird losses.
Yeah, there's been some big-time duds.
Yes.
The last 2 years. And they haven't had one yet this year. They've only lost to good teams.
Right, this year.
Every single team they've lost to this year is in the playoffs.
They haven't played a ton of bad teams,
No, you're right. They haven't. The only bad teams they've basically played are the Titans and the Lamar Jacksonless Ravens. Everyone else has been legit this year.
Yeah.
Their schedule, it's
a tough schedule this year.
And we knew it was hard going into the season, but as the season has played out and you're seeing both the Colts, who are now on the outside looking in the playoffs, but Jacksonville in the playoffs, it looks even more impressive.
Yeah,
like just the schedule, like just what's on paper. Arizona and Las Vegas will be two of the worst four teams they play this season.
Yeah,
so
you got to take care of business.
Yeah, I think the other one, I thought in moments the run game was good. Nothing against Woody Marks in this one, but as much as they want to run the ball, I think you need to be a little more efficient in those 26 carries as a team.
Yeah, first half it was okay. I thought there were some holes that Marks missed a bit.
I agree.
Not that there were like massive holes where it's like there's a 7 yard rip, but it was more like there's a 3 yard gain as opposed to a 1 yard gain. And maybe that's why Woody didn't take it. It's like, what's the benefit there? But I thought he did miss a little bit of those.
And I think the other part of it, and that, you know, if Nick Chubb's out and you want 30 carries, I guess Woody's taking. I mean, he took 26 in this.
That's
game.
A lot, though. I think it's more than Woody can handle.
Yeah. It's like, but does that mean Darius getting the ball? Or are we going to see an offensive?
No, they got this Jacksonville guy.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
They got this Jag.
Who we've never heard of?
It's just a guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah, it's
like, it feels like it's all on Woody's shoulders. And at this moment, I was like, 2.6 yards per carry. Longest rush was 8 yards in the game. I'm with you. There was moments where he could have got a couple more yards.
Yeah, but you
got
to take out his five worse.
Which are all probably a yard.
I don't know, I'm just making
or
funny.
Zero.
You always do that. What was the Chubb injury? I forget. Was it the, a hammy? A rib injury.
Yeah, which, that's tough.
It's better than a hammy.
Yeah, well, the rib injury is one where like a player could play through it, but also it could keep him out for 2 or 3 weeks, just depending on the level of pain or like, is it broken or is it just hurt?
Look, I'd rather have Nick Chubb than not have Nick Chubb.
Absolutely.
But I don't think this is a tremendous loss.
No, it's not. It's just, it's more, your second running back throughout the entire season hasn't been a great situation.
No.
And still a downgrade from Nick Chubb to Dare. So just, it's all on Woody Marks, though.
What's Mixon up to? Can he give you 5 carries?
I don't think so.
Only thing I was mad at on the defense as a junkie was Al Shire for not blowing up Mahomes when he had a chance.
I think he's learning his lessons.
There was one where Mahomes saw Al Shire coming, and he got down quick.
He knows.
Which, I want my linebackers to have that reputation. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
Like, do you want Mahomes to continue to scramble for 3 or 4 more yards, or do you want him to slide because Al Shire has the reputation of taking some heads?
Yeah.
There was a play that Al Shire missed, though, It actually worked to the Texans' benefit, though, because Al Shire could have had Mahomes like 3 or 4 yards shorter on a scramble that would have made it 4th and 5 instead of 4th and 1 at the 29, which they went for, and then they obviously didn't convert.
Oh.
So it kind of worked to the Texans' benefit in the long run that Al Shire missed a tackle on Mahomes. But I can't remember who the player was. I think it was Sheldon Rankins. Rankins like made a great hustle play there because it could have very easily been a Mahomes first down. Like bounces off Al Shire, would have had the first down, but you got this 325-pound defensive tackle that chases him down from behind.
Yeah.
Like tip my cap to Sheldon Rankins for that. I thought that was a tremendous play. Like one of those hustle plays that like no one notices. Tyler in the row, why do we feel like D'Amico won't get to hire a third OC? I don't think we need to handcuff him to a bad offensive coordinator.
I mean, I've had that take for a while, but the way the season's now playing out, if they're going to be a playoff team, you get a little more leeway. Like, if you wanted to make a change in the offseason, but you make the playoffs, then I feel like it changes the circumstances here a little bit. Whereas when I was saying that before, I was assuming the Texans weren't going to be a playoff team. And you don't typically see, unless an offensive coordinator is leaving to be a head coach, you don't see head coaches make these kind of hires, this amount of hires at OC.
Yeah, I think
unless you're the Eagles, apparently.
I think it's more plausible that he gets a third OC than he gets fired.
I agree. There'll be a playoff team. So
yeah.
He ain't going nowhere.
Well, I don't think he'll make the change this year, though. But like, so let's assume it's next year. Like, what if they go 7-10 next season?
No, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
You make the playoffs 3 years in a row, especially if you win 3 years, three playoff games. Like, what are you going to make a change?
Hannah has Mrs. D'Amico Ryans on her podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I think D'Amico's job is totally safe.
Yeah, that was, I haven't watched it yet. Did you sit
I
down?
Did. I watched.
Oh, really?
I watched it on my, well, I didn't watch it. I listened to it. I put it on the drive to East River 9 last Friday.
Was it informing?
I thought it was actually very good.
Okay, I just didn't know what to expect.
I thought it was very good. Now, I think it's weird that an owner is having a podcast on the team's YouTube channel. Like, I think that's kind of odd.
Yeah,
that brings
bit.
In like an entirely like new bag of questions. But I thought the content, and look, I want them to do this. It's content. I love content. But I thought the content of it was pretty good. I thought it was a good interview. Mrs. D'Amico Ryans did reveal that D'Amico Ryans watches Love is Blind with her.
Oh.
And other reality televisions.
Maybe that's
television
why
shows.
You didn't get the invite because they were like, Jeremy's just going to ask
about Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. So we
can't
distract
they know anything
from the rest
about
of the media.
Yeah. Oh, why didn't he get asked about that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character on Love is Blind?
Especially you figure like the people that bring them cookies.
This is what good husbands do, though. They watch reality television with their wives.
Agreed.
Southern Charm on tonight.
D'Amico, good husband.
Yeah. He watches reality television with his wife. That's what you got to do. A happy wife, happy life. Mm-hmm. Key from L.A., clearly Kaylee didn't pick up anything from McVay. He must have been sleeping in the meetings.
Okay. He didn't pick up anything from McVay because he's not running McVay's offense.
No, it's like this Patriots West Coast hybrid, but mostly Patriots scheme.
Yeah, but like it's like the pre-Josh McDaniels offense.
Even the Bill O'Brien like, Patriots offense was better than this.
Yeah, this is not what Josh McDaniels is running now in New England. This is not what he...
This is, I mean, it's pro-style offense, and you want to have nine-minute drives.
Yeah.
It's just, it is.
It's the Brady offense.
Branham, you're a CJ hater. You find ways to hate on the dude. You want him to block? Does it take a quarterback to tell a veteran lineman what he needs to do every single play? You're getting hard to listen to. See, this is the excuses we have for CJ Stroud. Like, what do good quarterbacks do at the line?
They call out the
middle linebacker. They call out the coverage schemes. What did CJ Stroud himself tell you in the offseason? These are the excuses that tick me off. Like, we can't have an honest conversation about the quarterback for the Texans because he's, like, good, because he's young. Why can't we have honest, critical conversations about the QB? I like C.J. Stroud. I want C.J. Stroud here for the next decade. I think C.J. Stroud can be a top-5 quarterback. I think he can lead the Houston Texans to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can do it this moment with the way that he's currently playing. I think there are certain things that must improve for C.J. Stroud to get there, and because he is so young in his development and in his career, I think those things can happen. D'Amico Ryans was asked by John Harris where areas he could clean up. D'Amico saying the same things that I have been saying. Why can we not have honest, critical conversations about athletes in these cities? You shouldn't be so in love with them that we can't have honest critiques about the QB. Plus, I was called a homer a little bit earlier. So which one is it? We just call it like it is. These are areas that C.J. Stroud struggles. Go watch top quarterbacks at the line of scrimmage and see how helpful they are to their offensive linemen on their coverage calls. They are very good at it. From Joe Burrow to Pat Mahomes to Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers might have been the greatest to ever do it. Brady. And yes, I'm talking about big names, but don't we have high expectations for C.J. Stroud? Stop making excuses for him. Let's have an honest conversation about his limitations. It's what sports talk is. It doesn't mean I hate C.J. Stroud. It's the opposite. I like him a lot.
It's his job.
Other people are calling me a homer.
It's his job to set the line of scrimmage.
He himself told you in the offseason he wanted more of that responsibility. But look at mean little Branham in week 14 is calling Stroud out for not doing it. He's wanted to do it himself.
For 2 years, we blamed whoever was at center, whether it was Scruggs or Patterson, for everything that was going wrong. Now it's CJ's responsibility. Like, it's his fault.
My goodness.
It's his fault. It's Nick Caseri's fault for the offensive line he put in front of him. Like, it's... that's the quarterback's job, is to call out the protections, to call out the Mike linebacker that changes the protections. It's one-on-one.
Why can't we discuss this type of stuff?
We can.
But they're protecting their little baby.
Yeah, well, then like maybe he should play better.
Burrow and Herbert have two of the worst lines in football. They're still capable of scoring 3+ touchdowns a game. Look, Stroud's capable of doing it, too. Sure would be nice to have Breece Hall right now. Boy, would it. That would be very nice.
That's true.
Criticize anyone and you're just a hater. That mentality is so annoying. People need to turn their homer blinders off. See, there you go. There you go. I like that guy. You're good with me, 5161. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm tired of people calling me a hater, Joe. So I'm going to tell you something that really impressed me.
Okay.
Really impressed me. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
1164. You had all the budget cuts and let Jeremy's joke of an air voice stay on. George fumbled that choice. Dang. 713-780-3776.
I made the right choice. I made no choices.
Tyler and Conroe. The question then is, why are they running a system that asks CJ to do things he isn't good at? Just because he wants to do it doesn't mean he should. So we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. Should you hire an offensive coordinator that caters more to your defense, or should you hire an offensive coordinator that caters more to your quarterback?
I mean, I would say to your quarterback. Now, I understand what the Texans are trying to accomplish, clearly, by they have an offensive mind that they want to run. But if it's not working, then you made the wrong call here. You have to evaluate what's the best for the team overall, and I feel like they didn't do that.
I don't know, man. Like, D'Amico has a certain way of how he wants to play, what he thinks is the best for the organization. And, like, I can't say that he's wrong.
I understand where you're coming from, but...
like, it's not there yet, but I can't say he's wrong, big picture. Like, they're playing good football right now. I think there's room to grow offensively.
Yeah, and they signed an offensive coordinator to really help CJ. It felt like that was the plan with Slowick, right? And then Kaylee looks to more fit into what D'Amico's vision of the Houston Texans are supposed to be offensively, how it complements the defense, how it helps the defense more. But if it's not helping your quarterback, then it still feels like it's not right. And it doesn't mean you can't run the same idea system, but your offensive coordinator also has to be able to figure out how to incorporate what D'Amico wants and then what works well for CJ.
Yeah, what if
and that to me is what I feel like is missing.
But what if it is the best thing long term? What if it's just best thing long term that might not have been the best thing short term, and it takes a little while to finally get there?
That's okay.
Like, and it doesn't need to be 300-yard games, 3 touchdowns. I just want it to be efficient. I want wins.
Yeah,
I don't need these statistical games. I don't need him to be Josh Allen. I don't need 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, and I'm ousted every year in the playoffs.
Yeah, because at some point, like the ball control and everything, it does matter. Like, it is going to matter and help you in the playoffs. But I still feel like it's just. I think there's the bridge is missing. I think you have a quarterback that does some things really well, and you have an offensive mind and a plan that you want, and it feels like they're fighting each other more than they are working together at times. And that, to me, is what it feels like it's missing. And then that's the role of Nick Kaylee, D'Amico, and CJ to close that gap in the offseason. They're not fixing that now. It's not changing. You've had 14 weeks. It's gotten marginally better. That's an offseason problem. And the question is, like, do you trust Nick Kaylee to do that? Because I think it was clear they didn't trust Bobby Slowick.
What if the question, though, is it you do if you trust Stroud?
Okay. That's fine. So you're not going to pay him?
I mean, I wouldn't pay him $60 million.
he's not playing like he's not worth it right now. It's what he's going to want. Like, so I think now, because the hard part with that is it's a more complicated question. It's easier to change your OC than it is to change your quarterback at this point. Like, you're kind of locked into C.J. Stroud, unless you want to make a huge, huge swing. Now, if you're not a believer, that's a different conversation, but I don't think we're saying that. We're not saying that they don't
believe. No. I want Stroud here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but it just feels like he's going to get his $60
million. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Because I would like to see the Texans, if they could find a way to approach the Stroud contract the way that Rafael Stone was able to approach the Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun contract,
yeah,
that'd be incredible. But that's just not how it works in the NFL.
Yeah, but I wonder if there's a medium here where, like, David Mulligan is like, okay, C.J. Stroud isn't playing his, you know, he's not playing like a $60 million quarterback. Yeah. Dak Prescott's the only $60 million quarterback in the NFL. He's not playing like Dak. He's not playing like Josh Allen. He's not playing like Stafford even. I wonder if there's a happy medium where there's a significant raise, but maybe it's a shorter term deal.
Yeah.
To where it's like, okay, well, here's your money. We're going to give you a high AAV, but instead of maybe 60 for five, maybe we're looking more at like a fair. And look, I understand the agents are going to balk at this, but maybe it's more of like a $45 million for three. You know, something. I wonder. I don't know. Like I would have difficulty paying him $60 million.
No, I think that's why. Like it's. I don't think they're going to pay him this offseason. He hasn't played well enough.
See, I think that they could, but it wouldn't be on a $60 million deal. I think it could be the bridge, 45 for three, something like that.
I would just be shocked if
Stroud
took that.
And when I say 45, I mean AAV.
Yeah, I think that's the right approach
for
the
Texans. But I mean, that doesn't buy out a lot. Because he's in his third year, so he'll be going into his fourth year next year.
Yeah.
He's already under contract. The fifth year is a first-round player option. And then the third year of what I'm looking at as a three-year contract would be a franchise tag year anyways. So a three-year contract is his fourth year, fifth year, first year franchise tag. So you're really not buying him out of free agency.
So what do you want his AAV to be?
I was thinking like 45. Like, is that fair? Is that fair of me to say? Like, yeah. would David, like, and I get that the whole agent's going to want 60, but is it in the realm of possibility that Caserio and Mulligetta, hey, look, like, we both understand he's not playing like a $60 million a year quarterback right now. We cannot justify paying him $60 million. But we do want to take care of him. We love his future. We love him. We do want him for the foreseeable future. We want to be fair to you. We're not trying to screw you with this team-friendly contract where we have him 3 years of his free agency years. How about a three-year contract, $45 million per year, which that's his fourth. And look, I don't know if you could tack this on to the fourth year where it becomes year four, five, six, seven. I don't know if you could take it in. I don't think you can take it in place in his fourth year.
No, I think it just.
I think you have to tack it on.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a 2 year deal. Maybe it's a 2 year deal. 2-3 year deal, $45 million a year, something like that, where it tacks on to his rookie contract. It tears up the fifth year rookie option. So you no longer have that. And then you obviously aren't franchise tagging him because you have him under contract. Because if you played hardball, you could just do, well, next year's your fourth year. Then we're going to pick up your fifth-year rookie option, and then we're going to tag you 1 year. Mm-hmm. So instead of playing hardball with you, which we're willing to do, instead of playing hardball with you because we, you know, like each other and we want to work together and we want to be in business with each other for a very long time, why don't we just tear up those 3 years? We give you a way above market value contract for that type of player, and we reevaluate in 3 years.
I think if he had any other agent.
That's the thing.
I could hear it.
I get that.
It's David Mulligetta's the most powerful man in the NFL.
But I mean, does David Mulligetta every single one of his clients sign for top dollar?
No, but the big ones.
It wouldn't be possible.
No, it wouldn't. But like his big ones do. And when it's more about him if he's unhappy. He plays the game better than anyone else in the NFL to get his way. Like he has gotten all of his major clients that have wanted out of situations out. Got Sean out. He got Jalen Ramsey out twice. Got Micah out, right? I think Micah was a Mulligetta guy. Like, every time like someone wants out that's represented by David Mulligetta, he's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Like he finds his way. He's the most powerful agent in sports right now.
The agent part of it scares me because I think that's fair. I really do. I think, Jeremy, it's fair.
I remember producing the show with you and Blank, and like, we asked the conversation, like, are you nervous about drafting C.J. Stroud because Mulugeta's his agent.
Yeah, I think it's a stupid question to ask.
But like, it was because it was coming right after Sean. Like, it's like, do you want to deal with this guy? Again, I remember Nick Caserio being asked about it in press conferences, but like working with David Mulugeta, and from the very get-go, they had to put out there like they have a good working relationship, because there's other players on the Texans that are represented by Mulugeta. So it's not like it was a one-man band kind of a thing, Mulugeta and Deshaun versus the McNairs. But it's, I love the idea of like a three-year contract, $45 million a year. I think that makes so much sense. I think that's pay CJ what he's worth.
Yeah, where's that? Did you pull up the contracts? I'll pull them up.
I bet you that puts him, just as a guess, as like the ninth highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Because that gives him a raise over the next 3 years.
Yeah, he's making
if you give him $45 million for 3 years, that gives him a massive raise over the fifth-year rookie option. It gives him a, well, I don't know, it wouldn't be a massive raise over the franchise tag.
His base salary next year is $1.1 million, a $5.8 million signing bonus, and then a $4.5 million roster bonus. So it's 11.5 total. That's crazy. I thought the rookie scale was higher than that.
No, the rookie scale is nothing, man.
Yeah, it's nothing.
That's why it pays off to draft like premium positions.
Yeah.
It like that's why you see like sometimes you haven't seen tight ends slip a lot. But like you don't get the financial benefit when you draft positions that aren't premium. Mm-hmm. Like the Raiders aren't getting a financial benefit with Ginty, you know? Like that's pretty comparable. Like the rookie scale for a running back that's drafted that high, it's not even they don't have rookie scales by position. They have rookie scales based on where you're picked. Mm-hmm. So whenever you draft a running back top 10, you're paying them a top 10 rookie scale, and a top 10 rookie scale is comparable to some of the top paid running backs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting salary cap savings when you do that, which is another disadvantage of drafting a running back that high.
And to be honest, like there is the conversation of CJ of being like, hey man, we gotta pay all these guys,
right?
Like, do you want Kamari Lassiter on this team?
It's gonna be a fascinating offseason, like, but I couldn't pay him $60 million. I just couldn't. Like, I'm willing to give you an extension. I'm willing to get you four. I mean, Mahomes is making AAV 45.
Yeah,
now team friendly deal.
Yeah,
no,
it was a 10-year $500 million contract.
Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would do that.
Yeah, because it was 40. It was,
you take a less AAV, but we're going to give you a longer term.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's been a great, it's really helped the Chiefs out a lot because he's made over $45 million a couple of these years because it was MVP, Super Bowl.
Yeah, 45's light.
But, like, he's the 14th highest paid quarterback, tied for 14th highest paid quarterback.
Kyler's at 46. Deshaun's at 46. Kirk Cousins is at 45.
Yikes.
Like, 45's too light. It might be 50. 50 might be the minimum that C.J. Stroud would agree to.
The hardest problem, I think, with all of the contract stuff with C.J. is I don't know what your counter to David Mulugeta and CJ Stroud is when they say Trevor Lawrence makes 55.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure. I'm not saying you have to go
maybe 55
above.
Is the number.
Yeah, because, like, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, all of those quarterbacks make $55 million AAV. They're all signed around a four-year, 220, 5 years, 275. Like, that's the kind of deal that they're going for. Now, you could look at Tua's deal, which is 4 years, $212 million. That's still $53 million annual. Like, that's still, we've been saying 60 because early on, that's what it looked like it was going to be. It looked like he was just going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's not going to be that. But he's going to be in this next group of $50 million a year.
Is 55 the number? Love's at 55 a year. Lawrence is at 55 a year. Then you have Burrow and Allen. Two is at 53. Yeah, Goff's at 53. Purdy's at 53. Sheesh.
Knowing the way the NFL
55
works.
55 is the minimum.
I think knowing the way the NFL works, 56 is the number.
Minimum.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jerry, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. I think the Texans deserve a lot of credit. And, you know, a lot of the texters and you guys obviously focusing on the offensive side of the ball, the strength of this team is their defense. Okay. And they can, I think they can go far with that defense. I mean, we've seen that in the NFL from the Ravens to the Tony Dungy Buccaneers. I mean, the defense is what really can carry a team far in January. I don't know if you guys think we got to take this one game at a time, but I would love to hear your thoughts on potential playoff matchups. I'm going to make an assumption that you would, best case scenario would be to face the Patriots. Which team do you guys want to stay away from? What teams are you guys looking forward to meeting? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that, Jerry. We'll answer that on the other side. Also, Would you pay C.J. Stroud $55 million a year this offseason? 713-780-3776. One quick point that Jerry brought up about the defense. This is the thing that I wanted to point out about being positive, because everybody thinks I'm a hater and don't love C.J. Stroud or the
hater Branham.
So the one thing that I have at the very top of my list on Film Don't Lie, you know, because I posture and stuff like that. It's one thing to have great defensive players. You can have a great defensive players and not have a great defense. The one thing that I really love about this Houston Texans defense is the connectivity that they have. They have great individual talent, fantastic individual talent, but their connectivity defensively is really, really good. It's great. It's borderline elite. It might be elite, because there are times whenever you just collect all these great defensive players and you're like, that's going to be the greatest defense in the NFL. And they're like the seventh best defense because they don't play together. What really sets the Texans apart, and yes, they have great defensive players, is the connectivity they play with defensively. Like, Will Anderson doesn't go rogue. Danielle Hunter doesn't go rogue. They don't miss many assignments. They are fundamentally sound. They're assignment sound. They play with great connectivity. That's very evident. 713-780-3776. Would you go up to $55 million a year for C.J. Stroud? And who do you want to avoid in the playoffs? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. Who do you want to avoid in the playoffs? Anybody?
Avoid?
Yeah.
Buffalo. Best quarterback.
Please.
He's the best player. He's the best quarterback left.
He's James Harden of the NFL.
That's fine. But I still like to avoid them.
I don't have a problem playing Buffalo at home.
I don't need your Josh Allen take to be proven incorrectly against the Houston Texans.
Hey, don't be scared. No regrets.
No, I don't think there's, like, frankly, like, there's no one in the AFC, like, besides the Bills, because it's Josh Allen, James Cook. Like, their wide receivers aren't great. Their defense has been up and down this year, but the Chargers are banged up. They're not healthy.
Yeah.
I don't care who comes out of the North. Lamar has been cheeks since he came back. Aaron Rodgers has been pretty bad, yeah, honestly.
Very bad.
New England's played nobody. Their schedule is the opposite of the Texans.
Denver's played nobody either.
Denver's played nobody, and you almost beat him with Davis Mills as your quarterback.
Like, yeah. I think they win with Stroud.
Yeah, they have a good defense, but, like, I'm not scared of Bo Nix.
No, I'm not scared of anybody in the AFC. I'm not going to, like, if I had to power rank, sure, Buffalo.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not scared of anybody in the AFC. New England probably second after Buffalo.
I think I still have Denver second just because going to Denver, that defense is still so legit. That's a playoff game that feels like it could end 9-6.
See, my thing, what I care about is winning the division. And it's mostly because of the path, not because of the teams. Because if you just went path today, the Texans would be at New England. If you win that game, you're at Denver. And then if you win that game, you're at either Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, L.A., or Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think it's very difficult for any team to win three playoff games on the road.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's more about the path. That's why I would really like to flip with Jacksonville. Because if you just flip with Jacksonville and you're the three, well, now you're looking at a home game, potentially a home game, depending on how the games go. But maybe a road game there, depending on how the bracket plays out, because they reseed in the NFL. So to me, it's more about the path than the opponents.
Yeah, and it's DJ tweeted out this, and I went and double checked his work on the ESPN playoff machine.
Mm-hmm.
The Jags can lose to the Jets, but if they win out their final three games, they would still win the AFC South.
Really?
However, if the one game they lose is to the Broncos, somehow in the tiebreakers, it flips it. So both teams can end up 12-5.
I think it's record of strength of opponent, something like that.
So they end up 12-5, but if Jacksonville loses to Denver, which I think we all believe they will.
That's the one game.
Then that flips the division for you.
Yeah, I care more about flipping. I care more about the seed than I do opponent. I would even take the 3 seed in a game against Buffalo than the 7 seed in the path.
I personally, I feel like you're destined to end up with Jacksonville in the first round? Because I think the Chargers are going to fall to the seventh seed.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to end up being whoever, Jacksonville or Houston at three, Buffalo at five, Houston or Jacksonville at six, Chargers at seven.
So AFC South champ, AFC South runner-up.
Yep, I think that's the way it's going to end up playing out this year. And so regardless, I like your first-round matchup, but to your point, not having to play every single game on the road is way more beneficial than having at least one home game.
And the AFC is so wide open this year that if you're a three seed and you win back-to-back games, you could host an AFC championship.
Absolutely. There's no reason why Denver and New England could not both be done.
Right. Right. So, like, that, I care way more about the seed than I do the opponents in this year's playoff. There are years that doesn't always, that's not always the case, but this year's playoff for sure. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Marcus, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, fellas? I wanted to talk about the salary cap situation. Is there a scenario where the NFL can make, like, a separate bracket for paying quarterbacks? Much like when you pay a coach, it doesn't come from your overall salary cap, but in essence, the coach is part of the roster because you can trade him. Can we just create a bracket to where we can take quarterbacks without taking so much from the overall salary cap? Because pretty soon, you're going to have these outrageous numbers, and it's going to hurt your overall roster. And it kind of penalizes you from drafting well because you're going to eventually have to pay the guy. And two, is there a scenario where we take the three-headed monster that is Kamari, Stingley, and Will Anderson and prioritize that over CJ if he comes with a ridiculous amount of money? And I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, I don't think they'll prioritize those guys over CJ. Unfortunately, like, it's going to be other parts of the roster that they move on from if they want to keep Lasser or Stingley and Anderson together, which I think they do. Maybe Stingley's the guy they move on from, honestly, at some point. If it's time to pay Lasseter.
I don't think so. Like, I think it's a fair question, man. Like, what is the strength of this football team?
Defense.
So why would you break up the defense?
Because your owner's going to have a really hard time selling that to fans, man.
No. If you're winning football games and you're going 12-5 and you're hosting playoff games, it doesn't matter if you have the number one defense and the 15th ranked offense. No. I'm not letting you get away with that one.
This fan base?
This fan base wants wins. They don't care how you do it.
The people that checked out when they won 9-10 games in a row, like 10 years ago, and still
That's
didn't
because they
care.
Didn't have hope in that team.
Yeah, but I feel like if you don't have C.J. Stroud as a quarterback,
and they were still there in the playoffs.
I know. They showed up when it mattered.
I think you have to play to your strength, man. I think you have to play to your strength. If the option is, would you pay C.J. Stroud at the expense of one or two of those defensive players?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that.
It would be tough.
I couldn't do that.
I think you have to.
The Texans are 20th in yards, 20th in points, and you want to pay the quarterback there that's going to then cost you your defense?
No, I think it's. I think they're going to try to do all of it. Frankly, like, they're going to try to pay all these guys. I don't know how you do it. Like, you move on from Daniel Hunter.
Who's all?
Lasseter, Stingley, Anderson, Stroud.
Okay. Would you include Bullock there?
No.
Petrie's already got a contract.
Yeah, but it's not that expensive. You can move on from it soon if you want to.
There's top nickel money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think it's the second highest paid nickel now.
Yeah, there's going to be cap gymnastics. And if you can pay all those guys, if you can, and we forgot about Nico.
Well, there's a reason why I didn't include him.
You think they're going to move on?
I just feel like at some point you have to make it, like, you can't keep everyone,
You
right?
can't keep everybody.
So, like, if you're going to focus on your defense, then you have to use the draft and free agency. And your quarterback, if you're going to pay him $55 million, has to elevate your wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Has to. Mm-hmm. It's why Brady only had Moss for 1 year, and they gave up a seventh-round pick for him.
Yeah.
Like, they always had Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. Like, they paid Gronk. But, like, you have to pay your quarterback and pay those guys. You need your GM to be 10 times better than he is right now. That's the problem. You need to evaluate and win the draft.
That's not fair.
Yeah, you got it.
I think Caserio has been pretty dang good at the draft. All the guys that you just mentioned as pillars of the organization are guys Caserio drafted.
Yeah, but it's the other spots. It's your offensive line. You have to win in the draft. It's your wide receiver. You have to win in the draft.
He drafted Nico.
He did.
He drafted Higgins, who's looking good as a rookie.
I like Higgins. But, like, you have to keep doing it over
all
and over
the good
again.
Guys you're pointing to, the guys you have to keep, are the guys that Caserio drafted, and then you're blasting Caserio for drafting poorly.
What I'm saying is it's impossible. It's impossible to keep doing it. We've never seen an NFL GM do it.
Do what?
To keep hitting. But he has to. To make it work, he has to keep hitting.
I mean, Baltimore had some good runs under Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, he did. They did.
They had some really good drafts for a long period of time.
But they didn't pay Flacco for a long time.
The cap gymnastics is going to be fascinating, and it's also like it's multi-years away, mm-hmm. and you don't know what the cap number is going to grow to. So like it's very hard to predict who you can keep and who you can't keep.
And to the first part of the question, like there has been – people have talked about how owners have discussed a cap for quarterbacks, kind of like an NBA Supermax contract. Yeah. I think it was this last offseason it was floated about removing the quarterback salary from the salary cap.
Was it floated around within the league, or was it floated around like in the reporter world?
I don't remember.
I don't really either. I lean reporter world.
I think so, too, because I know it's Florio's biggest thing.
And Florio's a fearmonger.
But then other people promote it. But that was actually, it would actually be a good thing in the NFL.
I don't think it's feasible.
I don't either, because then what are you going to pay CJ Stroud?
But it's also like...
Like $80 million? Is that what he's going to ask for? Because it doesn't count towards your cap?
Right. And then also, like, I think it's a disadvantage to teams who don't have quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, here, we're going to eliminate the quarterback from the salary cap, so it incredibly rewards the teams that have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's feasible.
And I also would never put pen to paper on a rookie contract ever again. If I was CJ Stroud and you told me that they could pay me whatever they wanted to and there's no salary cap restrictions, I'm hitting that open market, baby. Like, I'm going to five NFL teams and saying, how much do you want to pay me for my services?
As a rookie?
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's against the collective bargaining.
No, when your contract's done.
Okay.
Like, I'm not signing that second contract.
Yeah.
I'm going to the open market.
Yeah.
Like, I am not.
Yeah, I don't think it's feasible.
I don't think it is either. I think they could try a Supermax thing, but that's the next CBA. That's probably Stroud's third contract.
And I think that it's so complicated, I have a hard time believing it would ever happen. And I agree with you that if it ever does happen, I think it's going to be way out in the distant future and way after Stroud has signed that first contract. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRNP listener line. Randy, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Randy?
Hey, guys. Thank you. I think you pay him. You know, you set your franchise back 4 years in development and building around that quarterback position, and he's had a rough year, but I think you also have to keep his backup. I mean, similar to that Dak growth era, I mean, he had a good backup behind him that was helping run him through those stuff. I think the next question is, if you keep CJ, you know, who do you let go? I think you build your running back room and you build portions of your defense through the draft, and you can afford to pay him and see if he develops. Otherwise, he becomes a trade piece down the line. But I don't see that there's a better option. And when Kyler Murray's making 40, I think 55 is a bundle of value for somebody like CJ Stroud and what he brings to the team.
I think that's fair. Like, if you look at, like, compared to some of these quarterbacks and what they're making right now, CJ Stroud looks like a steal at 55, honestly, compared to Kyler at 46. Honestly, compared to Trevor Lawrence at 55. If you pay them the same amount of money, but it makes everything very complicated.
Yeah, I don't want to break up the defense. Like, if there's a way where you could keep the – and look, maybe there is, and Casario, like, has his capologist and all of that. If you can keep your defensive pillars and then Stroud – and I'm not – like, if it comes down to, like, Stroud and Nico, like, you got to go quarterback.
Yeah, of course.
Nico's better relative to his position than Stroud is relative to his position, but Stroud plays quarterback and Nico plays wide receiver.
And the Texans, like, are going to have the opportunity to save some money here pretty quickly and, like, reinvest it. I mean, you've got $35 million coming off your books with Danielle Hunter. If you wanted to move on from Titus Howard, you could. You don't have to. You know, Christian Kirk's average salary is expensive, but they can move off that at some point.
I think as soon as this offseason.
Joe Mixon's making $9 million. Danico Autry's making $10 million. Like, you can find – Jimmy Ward's going to come off your books. He's making $10 million to not be in the facility. Like, there are – they're going to have some guys leaving, but then you're going to have to win in the margins in the draft and free agency.
Yeah, you're going to have to be kind of stars and scrubby.
Yep.
And maybe scrubby is the wrong word. You're going to be stars and young players. Yeah. I actually thought about this on the drive home yesterday because I'm a sicko. Actually, it might have been on the walk this morning. But I was kind of thinking about, like, the roster construction of this team going forward and, like, the idea of paying Stroud and all that too. You know what might have stemmed this conversation actually is we were talking about the Texans trading down. I think that the Texans are going to have to trade down a lot over the next 5-7 years. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to pay C.J. Stroud, you're going to pay Derek Stingley, you're going to pay Will Anderson, you're going to pay Kamari Lassiter, we'll see where Nico is in this discussion, Titus Howard, Higgins, you know, the second-tier players, Bullock, all of them or whatever – you're going to need a lot of cheap labor. And where is the best place to get cheap labor?
Draft.
It is the draft. So every time, like the Texans made that pick with the Giants this year, mm-hmm. where they traded their first rounder late in the draft to the Giants for, you know, their second round pick and future picks. They made the trade with the Commanders where they gave them Laremy Tunsil. The Texans got like a second rounder back next year and then like middle round picks. The Texans are going to have to be doing that pretty frequently because you're going to have to fill your 53-man roster. They actually have a 90-man roster, 53-man roster plus the practice squad with cheap labor. Mm-hmm. So you have to stockpile draft picks. So it wouldn't shock me over the next 5-7 years if we see Nick Caserio trading down a lot.
Yeah. And this year's a prime opportunity too when you have potentially a pick in the mid to late 20s. You've got, but then you've got picks in the early 30s.
Mm.
And, you know, you have three top 40 picks this year, and you're going to have flexibility within those picks to make big moves and to save yourself some money. Like, and
I think you're adding players on your roster.
Yeah, you have
at the cheapest amount of money.
It's why, like the Patriots, their success was because they did that a lot. They would trade back a lot, and then Tom obviously took a discount. Like that helps them
big time.
But the Chiefs have done similar things. Now they've been aggressive at times too. They've traded up for players, but like you have to when you start factoring these contracts, it makes it complicated. And having a quarterback make $55 million a year instead of $9 million changes a lot.
You're going to need a lot of players on their rookie contract. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pay all, and I don't know if the Samantha's even paying all those players, but if you find a way to pay all of those guys, you're going to have a lot of players on their rookie scale. Mm-hmm. They don't mean they're all rookies; it's just on their rookie scale. The Texans traded pick number 25 to the Giants, and they used that pick to draft Jackson Dart. To draft Jack Dart, their future franchise quarterback, all of that. The Texans in that trade got the 34th pick, a third-round pick, and then a 2026 third-round pick. Like, those are the trades they need to be making every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year. Because you're going to be spending a lot of your cap dollars on a few amount of players, and you need a lot of players on their rookie scale. So, you move down 9 spots, and then you acquire 34th pick. There's a guy on a rookie scale. But then you acquire 2 additional picks on top of that that are going to be on their rookie scales. And they're like valuable picks, right? Mm-hmm. Like a third rounder you think is going to be on your 53-man roster for the next 4 years. A 2026 third rounder with the Texans are drafting next year, they're going to draft that guy, and then he's going to be on their roster for the next 4 years. Maybe Caserio already had that foresight. Maybe he had that foresight when he traded Tunsil. Maybe he had that foresight when he traded down for pick number 25. Now, there were reports last year that he was trying to trade up.
Yeah.
That kind of contradicts that. But it wouldn't shock. Like, if we see Nick Caserio trade out of the first round every single year for the next 5 years, I think that there is a lot of cap component, roster building, the pie chart of salary that is a huge reason as to why he's making those trades.
The biggest thing that Nick Caserio is going to have to be better at, though, going forward, is all this dead cap money issues that he's cornered himself into. The Stephon Diggs contract, right, is a good example.
But terrible trade.
But for 2026, they have just over $32 million in dead cap money owed to Shaq Mason, Cam Robinson, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and Christian Kirk, if they move on. Like, those are the kind of moves that, like, they're going to bite you. You got to avoid that stuff. Like, you can't be owing Shaq Mason $7 million next year and Cam Robinson $7 million when they're not on the roster.
But maybe those are all bad. No, I'm not like.
He just has to be better at that stuff.
But I wonder if that was also kind of calculated. Not that he was going to cut these guys. Like, he didn't think he was going to cut C.J. Gardner-Johnson 8 days after restructuring his contract.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he knew he had that financial cushion and financial leeway for like another year or two before you pay. Well, really, it's a year because you're paying Stroud this offseason. You're playing Will Anderson this offseason. That's the other thing. Like, we sit here and talk about the Stroud contract because Stroud's eligible for a contract. Well, who was in the same draft class as C.J. Stroud?
Yeah.
Will Anderson. You don't think Will Anderson's getting an extension this season?
Mm-hmm.
This offseason? Of course he is.
I've got their SPO track up. How much cap space do you think they have in 2026 right now?
I don't know.
$16 million.
Okay.
Just take a wild guess at what they currently have available for, according to this website, for 2027, how much cap
is this like projected?
Yeah. Well, based on your current roster.
So, like, is Stroud, did they project a Stroud contract?
No, that's just based on your current roster.
Well, I mean, I think they would have quite a bit.
Yeah. So, in 2027, at the moment, they have $214 million in cap space.
Yeah. See, I think Caserio did have foresight with that.
Yeah.
I think he started to build the roster like, okay, well, C.J. Stroud's going to be eligible for an extension at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson's going to be eligible for an extension at this point in time. I think that's why he went veteran route opposite of Will Anderson. I think it's why he went veteran route at wide receiver, at running back. But you're not going to have the luxury, if you can pay all those guys, of going veterans. You're going to have all those guys and then a bunch of rookie scales. A bunch of rookie scales. 713-780-3776. Would you pay C.J. Stroud 55, 60? Offense, defense, where are you allocating those dollars? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Where you should be allocating your vacation dollars is Two Creeks Crossing Resort. And the beauty of allocating your vacation dollars at Two Creeks Crossing Resort is not going to cost you much. And right now, they got a great deal for you, too, the 40-20 discount. From now through February, you get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off nightly RV stays, their 40-20 discount, which is perfect for relaxing by the fire, exploring the beautiful outdoors. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of that great deal. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle, whatever's causing you stress and anxiety, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, beautiful, great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got the open green spaces. You're going to love it. They have wildlife you don't see in the city, beautiful, majestic nature, some of the best fishing if you like to fish in the Lone Star State. They got the two creeks that run alongside their property. They got the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property. The kiddos are going to love it. You're going to love it too. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. You're going to love that as well. You're taking the family out to a little vacation spot. You don't want to be in the vehicle for more than 90 minutes anyways. You don't want to haul them through TSA and at the airport gate waiting for the plane. Snacks are expensive. You don't want to be in the car for 8 hours with your family. You're there in an hour and a half. What's not to love about that? You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Hike on their 92 acres of property, do some kayaking, play some pickleball. They got it all. They got glamping. They have the cabins. They have a treehouse. Beautiful treehouse. We stayed in that. We loved it. Or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anyone. So book that stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.